We have a basketball program that we all expect to compete in the Big Ten and national championships year in and year out.
There's no other way to look at it. It's one of the better jobs in the Big Ten.
Final four!
I didn't think you got me this good, but it feels good!
First, I need to check.
Welcome on into the boardroom. Johnny here alongside Sam and Josh, and an easy 16-point win for the Illini, 72-56 against Nebraska. That was certainly a very pleasant watching experience, not at all frustrating watching a team go 5-for-29 from three, but alas, we'll take a win. Josh, what were your first thoughts about the game?
Yeah, we covered. I mean, it, like you said from the start, very easy game, not really out of reach at any point where like we had to like come fight back from what. No, I'm kidding. We started out poorly. We shot poorly throughout the entire game. Every single time the ball ended up near the hoop, it seemed like it went in. Every time we shot it away from the hoop, it didn't go in. And it's frustrating. We talked about this before the podcast, but I'll explain it for everyone listening. There was this like TikTok going around showing teams that are the streakiest teams like around the graph, both on offense and on defense. So if you were in the bottom right hand corner, that means you were the streakiest team on offense and you let up the least amount of runs. But if you were in the top right corner, which Illinois was probably as far right as it could get, but also towards the top, which means they go on the most runs on offense, but they also let up the most runs on defense. And that kind of just feels like the whole entire story of the season, and especially this game, where it felt like every single time we tried to pull away, Nebraska was fighting back into it. And it was just like nonstop, just like every other game. But eventually we pulled away and happy with the result. Hopefully there's a lot to learn from Brad on how to put teams away from the start.
Yeah, Sam, we made it a lot harder on ourselves than we had to. We really suck at like conference 3-point shooting, I feel like. Like, is it just me or does every game we go like 5-for-20 something? I don't know.
Yeah, we've definitely struggled from three. I think we were going into this game 12th in the Big Ten in 3-point shooting percentage.
Didn't
in the
get
conference.
Any
but hey, we'll take the win. We'll bank the wins. You like being 7-4.
All that
matters. We're not gonna apologize for being 7-4. But yes.
Are you apologizing for a double bye?
I would not be apologizing for a double bye, and we could potentially be in second place in the Big Ten here very shortly. But like you guys were saying, very streaky team. It even felt like whichever way it was going at a timeout, then it would just go the opposite way, where it's like, okay, we came out of the second half, the first to the under 16, we were dominating, and then boom, immediately let up a 9-0 run. There were some great memes though, seeing Brad at halftime just hanging out by himself on the bench 7 minutes before. It honestly made me think though, I feel like Brad was kind of bored just sitting on the bench. Didn't seem like he was on his phone. He was just looking at his little like play board.
Clipboard.
Yeah, his clipboard that he draws plays on. Like, wouldn't you rather just be hanging out in the locker room, maybe being able to look at film or whatever, as opposed to just chilling?
Yeah, he said to Bardo after the game that he was like, I wanted to take in the halftime experience in the crowd. And he kind of like joked around being with the fans.
That's a bummer that Stevie Max wasn't out there seeing him do Simon Says. You know, Brett, maybe Brad could have participated, but or seeing Red Panda flip the the bull.
Brad would have been like, now that's a winner. Yeah. That's someone who comes to compete.
Guys, you look at that defensive stance, all right? You know, the stability.
She stays low, flips it in.
Yes.
By the way, who would have thought that over halfway into the Big Ten schedule, Northwestern and Illinois are playing for second? At like, what the frick?
Yeah, what the fuck is going on?
50% of the teams, it makes sense.
Yeah.
50% of the team makes sense, but yeah, the other 50% is wild.
Yeah.
Shout out to Chris to somehow hanging on to this job.
Yeah. Unfortunately.
Yeah, it's weird. But hey, I'll take 7-4. Feel like you got to win a few more games, and then you kind of have locked in your tournament appearance. I know we're still of the fragile fan base that we did not make the tournament at all in college, so we're always like checking off the box of making the tournament. And until we actually win enough games to do that, whether that's 11 Big Ten wins or whatever, like we would love to see that, because we saw a team lose to Rutgers and not make it in 2017. But we will take that. Also, a nice solid win on the road at Wisconsin on Saturday. I feel like that game was probably more fun to watch. Fun to see Matt Meyer be unconscious and just winning in the Kohl Center and just owning Wisconsin was a lot of fun. And it's crazy too, calling back to our time in school when we went 0-10 against them in revenue sports. And now we've gone 8-2 for graduating seniors, and they have never seen them lose to them in basketball. Like, these kids are so lucky.
They
spoiled.
They looked pretty unspectacular, which, like, seeing Wisconsin at the bottom of the Big Ten is almost as satisfying as being good.
It's just like a finally moment, you know? Like, Greg Gard recruited so poorly, and he's finally reaping the rewards of how bad of a job he did. And I just want him to stay now for as long as possible, because he's going to continue recruiting like crap, because he doesn't recruit transfers well. And he just tries to like make three-star centers work in his system all the time. Granted, they turn out to be fine college basketball players, but they're no skill athletes. Every single person on the line we've covered that plays meaningful minutes is like a top 100 recruit besides Coleman Hawkins, right? Johnny, correct me if
yes,
I'm
correct.
Wrong.
He was, yeah.
My butt.
Yeah. Yes. Every other guy in the rotation was like a top 110 guy, and Coleman's like 160.
Yeah. And for Greg, for Wisconsin, they just have guys above 110. And it's just finally caught up to him, and it's beautiful to see.
I'm also, in a similar note, very excited for that to end with Fran McCaffrey as well. Like, he's not getting a third Murray twin out there. Like, congrats. You're about to have back-to-back, like, lottery picks with Keegan and Chris. Like, fortunate that their dad went to Iowa. And even before that, like, having a National Player of the Year right before them in Luka Garza and Joe Wieskamp, who's an NBA player. Like, their talent is about to diminish, and hopefully with that, Iowa goes down just with Wisconsin, and the Big Ten just gets easier and easier for us. And you know what? One thing you can't say is like, okay, yeah, Purdue's not going to have like a 7'3" guy, because they will always have a 7'3" guy, but hopefully it won't be Zach Edey. But I look forward to the Big Ten, where a lot of those teams that don't recruit well continue to kind of plummet, and then a team like Michigan State somehow doesn't land Ty Rogers, even though his uncle was on a Final Four team and he lived in Draymond Green's hometown. Like, how does Tom Izzo not win that recruitment?
Let's go a little south now. Let's go a little bit south now. When coaching doesn't matter, when coaching doesn't work, and you recruit when you recruit the best recruiting classes, and we're at both Michigan and Ohio State, where they recruit top classes and the coaches stink. And guess what? We're in the perfect spot at Illinois here. We recruit high talent. We have a coach that is good, and it's just great to see, and it's finally working out to our favor. It's no bank error in our favor. It's just doing what's supposed to happen.
Yeah, it's just the natural order. And I can't wait to root on Jet Howard in the NBA as he leaves after 1 year.
Gonna be a great player.
Yeah.
We wish him the best.
Yeah, we wish him the best.
Wait, did you guys see Luka say to Isaiah Livers? They like got in a tiff and he goes, "Who are you?"
What? That's hilarious.
Luka goes, "Wait." He was like walking away and Isaiah Livers says something and he's like, Who are you?"
At first, I thought you were talking about Luka Garza, and I was like, would be really funny, but that makes a lot more sense than Luka Doncic. Like, who are you, Isaiah Livers?
All right, let's go back to the Wisconsin game. I didn't really notice this, that our Saturday was a little bit busy, as you might have saw from our Twitter account of where we celebrated half of our birthdays. But did you know what we shot from three on Saturday?
It wasn't good. Was it like 4-for-20 or something?
It wasn't good. We were Matt shot 5-for-11. The rest of this team shot 1-for-9.
Okay, nice. So 6-for-20?
Yeah, 6-for-20. And so that game, you said that it was a more enjoyable game to watch, which it was, but it was more because we had one player get unconscious, right?
Yes, yes.
Rather exactly. than today, which was a team effort of being terrible at three, but also very good everywhere else.
Yeah.
I felt like we rebounded the ball well today. You had four players in double figures with Sincere at eight right underneath that. And then you had Ty Rogers, who was at seven, but he also comes in and just does the Ty Rogers things where he had seven rebounds. Six of them were offensive rebounds.
That's ridiculous.
This guy is just going to continuously do that for the next three, hopefully 4 years. I'm going to say hopefully 3 years, hopefully 4 years, and just be the nonstop, like, not even, it's not even, since here's the Energizer buzzer, but Bunny, what's the Ty Rogers? He's Alpha Dog.
Yeah, no, we got to workshop that one. Just
they're both not great.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, Sincere is Mr. 94 too. But yeah, I mean, Ty and Sincere combined for 15 points, and neither of them missed a shot. They both had two steals. Like, they were both great on defense.
They both had 0 points against Wisconsin. So it's like a nice little bounce back for them.
Yeah, like that's just kind of riding the wave of being a freshman. And sometimes at home you bring it, and then on the road sometimes you don't. But
and probably a combined zero jump shots made between them. Yeah, but that's okay.
Yeah, exactly.
It's the hustle gritty points.
We'll take the layups. We'll take the dunks. That was pretty sweet. That one dunk by Sincere where he almost hung on the rim a little too long. We were like, get off. But
double the amount of time of our days. What was it? Houston.
Yeah,
dunk,
Houston,
but whatever.
Yeah.
We're not counting.
We can't just not call it. We have to
We were saying we're proud of Sincere for growing out of missing dunks. That was a thing earlier in the season. Proud of him for not doing that. And that, like, yes, our 2-point percentage is a lot higher because a lot of those are just like transition layups that we're making. I'd like to see what our half court 2-point percentage is. This was definitely a weird danger game. Like, he missed a few bunnies. I was also still surprised we didn't go to him more, but
yeah,
hey, you found a way to win.
Only five shot attempts when you're shooting 17% from three. Like,
yeah,
you're not doing yourself any favors.
Yeah, and I mean, the zone contributed to it.
Yeah,
and the poor shot clock operator contributed when we had a 20-second shot clock violation. Come on, refs, what are you doing there? / whoever's working at the State Farm Center. I'm going to blame the refs, though, because they're able to stop the game at any point for other times when it's like a 1 second difference in the shot clock, but they can't notice when there's a 10 second difference. Just what are we doing
there?
Yeah,
it doesn't make sense.
But yeah, the opposite of home cooking there, but we'll take it. We'll take it. And
What advantage did you guys think we had tonight, knowing that both the play-by-play guy and the color commentator were both on our podcast?
Yeah, it's a great question. We did talk about that, but it's hard because Revzin went to Northwestern and Bardo roots against Illinois when he coaches or when he calls the game. Yep. So
I was going to say neither of them had an Illinois bobblehead night.
Yeah.
one of them did have an opportunity, I think.
What do you think of Bardo's take about he was happy that the refs waited for the shot to go in before they called the foul?
That was awful. That was bad. I think he had a similar take last time too.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
What's your other thing with him? Insert neighboring county when someone
whenever someone makes a three, it's like that one was from Champaign, or if it's in Wisconsin, that one was from Milwaukee, or that one was from St. Paul, or that one was for I'll do one for every. That one was for Omaha.
Yeah, Bardo.
He just has like his go-to Bardo-isms.
There's one other one, and it's only going to happen for the rest of the year, and I think it'll stop hopefully starting Jaden's sophomore year, but Jaden's going to consistently be underrated. Yeah. Like, he's just nonstop underrated. We're going to get the same thing. But I guess I'm not an announcer. I don't know if I could not repeat exactly what I'm saying each and every game that I call a game.
Bardo is also a big you don't need a three here kind of guy. And fortunately, Illinois hasn't played in too many close games this year for him to bring that one out. But he's definitely, you'll see Twitter and it'll be Steven Bardo. You don't need a three here.
As your Lord, Savior, and idol, Ken Palm said on our podcast, usually when they say you don't need a three, you need a three.
My guy, KP.
Johnny today said
where
something.
Where are we standing today?
Johnny goes, we're in 12th in KenPom. I hope this doesn't negatively affect.
No. What I said was we were favored by 12 in the game. And at that point, we were like up 8. And I was like, I really want us to like
fulfill KenPom's.
Score more so that we move up in KenPom. Not caring about covering. I was just more like, you need to cover the KenPom spread, which was 12. But fortunately for all bettors and all KenPom supporters, we did move up, and we've now moved from 24th to 21st in the Holy Grail. So that's big time. And he still has us going 12-8 the rest of the way in the Big Ten, which, hey, that's fine. And now you just got to beat Minnesota, beat Rutgers, beat Northwestern, beat Michigan, maybe beat Iowa on the road here.
Beat Purdue.
Yeah.
Yeah. Coming.
Yeah.
What's Northwestern in KenPom?
They are 42nd, so okay. That's an easy win.
Just like it was last time.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, that was a road game. That was a road game, for the record. But 40 number 40 Penn
State.
Thank
you for updating the record.
Win. Yeah, yeah, you're welcome. Yeah, I mean that's what this season is. It's just like continuing to count down. Oh, also. Now that Ken's updated his stats, we are 14th in the Big Ten in three-point percentage in conference play. We are down to 29.3%. So
nice.
Not ideal.
Nice.
But we'll see if that puts a dagger in the heart of the team, which the 2020 team with Io and Kofi's freshman year, we shot 29.3% from three.
Oh.
So, hey.
Another second round exit.
And everyone thinks,
hey, that team didn't lose in the tournament. Right?
That team was going to win the national championship.
Correct. Yeah.
The last practice was the best one of the season. Nagel Fieldhouse.
Double bye. Going back to that comment, how do you, knowing that we've dealt with Brad through tournaments now, hearing his euphemisms of like elite and excellent ball movement and just over exaggerating every single thing about everything, do you guys think that was the best practice?
I believe him.
Didn't they let them finish the practice after they knew, because like they didn't know how to tell them?
It's like giving your dog like chocolate right before it dies.
Oh, God,
like,
yeah.
you wanted to have a good time before you put him down. But yeah, that's something. But I do believe it, because when we lost to Penn State, Brad was like, that was a terrible practice. And Terrence, I knew he was going to be bad. Like, sometimes he does have a gauge of the quality of practice and whether or not that's going to contribute to whether or not we're good.
I don't doubt that he does. I'm just saying, like, I think we trust Brad, but we have to take everything he'll ever say with a grain of salt.
True. He did say Keisei Tominaga was an elite shooter, and he went 3-for-4 from three today. So I was curious for you guys, which player frustrated you more in the game today, like Griesel or Tominaga? Because they were both annoying me in different ways.
I won't name names here, but do you have a feeling that there's some people on maybe Illini Twitter or just big media, let's go with big media, that are trying to push like that Keisei Tominaga is not an annoying player on us? Do you know what I'm referring to?
No.
Yeah, I don't know what you're referring to either, but he is annoying.
Some people are like, he's definitely annoying.
Yeah,
like we have that video. We have video proof.
Yeah, we do. Of him trying to block a free throw.
But he's just as annoying as Bo. Yeah. Sam looks confused.
Well, I know the free throw blocking thing, but who said he's not annoying?
Oh, just big Illini media.
Yeah, he's got a soft spot in people's hearts just because he's like kind of goofy. Like he'll you look at him on the bench and he's just like big grin on his face and kind of like hanging out. But
yeah, he's goofy until he like makes four threes in a row.
Yeah, exactly. Until he hits a three and then you call a timeout and you're down at the under 12 and you're like, God damn it, what's going on here?
I was more annoyed by him. That was my answer the whole time, but it was just like, I wondered if you guys saw that movement being pushed. Did you think it was him or Griesel?
probably him, because after Griesel scored his first 13, then he was, and we were like still doing fine, then he was like fine for the rest of the game. And then Tominaga came in and like made a bunch of threes, and it was getting annoying, and he was having too much fun.
Yeah, and so this is Tominaga's junior year, so he's got one more year. I'm curious who they're going to get next after him to replace the lefty shooter who, like, just looks unathletic. Like, remember Thor Bjarnason, also Nebraska, also lefty.
Beautiful
just, like,
pronunciation.
Thank you. I try a lot with my Icelandic pronunciations, but, like, where is Hoiberg going to get the next guy? And maybe it's his walk-on son who shouldn't be starting, but... He's got a little nepotism in his blood, but
don't we all?
Yeah,
don't we all?
Yeah, yeah. Our program is
Tom
one
Izzo,
to point fingers.
Brad Underwood, yeah. Lovie Smith,
yeah.
Fran McCaffrey times three.
Yeah, those
Juwan Howard.
Yeah,
I could keep going.
Some of those guys are like legit scholarship players, but yeah, I do. It is funny how much coaches love playing their sons.
I respect Brad for never putting his son on scholarship, unlike these other people who, because they're a university employee, they get their kids in with free tuition. Like Brad's daughters got into Illinois free tuition, but like they're taking up a scholarship spot for like Jet Howard.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Howard. Like, you should completely manipulate your
selfish
scholarships. You could have 15 scholarships essentially by giving,
you could have
15 letting your two
exactly
players.
Also,
but instead you're
like,
just
I'll
gonna
pay you whatever their scholarship's worth, like, to not take up the scholarship.
Yeah,
like,
yeah, add, yeah. Like, your dad's
right
making
like, I'll
millions
give you
of dollars.
Room and board in your salary if you don't use that scholarship.
It just
seems disrespectful. Like, if I was a Michigan fan, I'd be complaining.
Well, I mean, maybe Juwan just can't get other
and
guys
like,
to commit.
True. Just like how we all complained when our football head coach paid his son rather than just having him as an assistant coach, you know?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Same with
an
Brian
unpaid
Cubitt
assistant coach.
Yeah. Well, no, that one's different though, because then you can't recruit. It's like a little different.
Oh, we wanted Miles out there. Miles had a lot of experience.
Yeah.
He had NFL experience. Yeah.
Noted recruiter. Hey, he did recruit Tariq Barnes, so respect. But you make a fair point. We probably would have loved for him to take an unpaid assistant job. But hey, Illinois
right,
basketball,
anything
we're back. like Josh, you tweeted too earlier that like people didn't complain about the AP poll. And I feel like it's less because we're mad at the AP poll and more like we don't really know how good this team is and we're not going to freak out because we don't totally trust this team. And even though we've won 7 out of 8, it's still signs of a team that you can never fully trust.
Yeah, all good teams. And this is really shocking stuff. And I know Maddie would just have a field day with what I'm about to say, but all good teams win the games that they have to. They don't let themselves get run over. Like we might have with Penn State, or we might have, well, Northwestern looks kind of good, but we're winning the games we have to win right now. And that's all that matters in January. Now we have more important game, like more challenging games coming up as anyone does in the Big Ten. And we'll see how we like look on the road, but we've been winning the games, and I don't know. I think it's been not just 7 of 8, but I think we've covered maybe 5 of 8, which is cover. Like people just say that's a gambling thing. No, covering means you're doing better than what the expectation is, unlike what we are all thinking.
I was looking back at this because Nebraska's had this weird thing. We don't play close games.
Yeah, we really don't. Like
good or bad.
A handful. I mean, some of them have also just gone out of line at the last couple of minutes,
like,
but like
we hung around with Virginia. We were definitely behind against UCLA and then like pulled away, but
Yeah. And the Michigan State game, like it was a 9-point game, but we were down by a decent amount. But yeah, it's weird that we really haven't had too many games where it's like the last minute or two, other than Texas and Maryland.
Yeah.
But hey, I mean, 7 of 8, let's keep reminding ourselves of that and we'll feel good. I mean, I kind of want this team, like obviously I'm rooting for this team to go to the Sweet 16 as we all are. I want it so that we get it off our back and then look back at the regular season and be like, this team was honestly not as good as those two other teams, but it's a single elimination tournament, and that's just what happened. Like, it's almost luck of the draw, and like, this team is probably not going to win a Big Ten title or go 16-4, and yet it still could do better in the postseason. I was looking at bracketology, and we are currently slated to be a 5 seed, which, hey, that's not terrible. And we'd be in Houston's bracket, which, of course, like, I trust Joe Lunardi because the committee loves to do stuff like that. And the 4 seed that we would be lined up against would be TCU, who was also in our bracket last year, who played Arizona very tough. But the team that TCU was playing in the 4-13 game was Utah Valley, who I'm hoping it's a team from their conference, but instead of Utah Valley, who's Southern. In first, it's Southern Utah, and it's Tevian Jones, and Tevian goes off in the first game, and then we get a Tevian rematch against a 13 seed in the round of 32. Like, that would be the perfect way. Brad just be like, hold up, guys, I got this. Like, here's what we do. Like, it's Tevian Jones. Like, we're fine. And then the crowd's just like, the real T. Jones.
The tournament committee is like, oh my God, if we can get Tevian against Illinois, that national draw.
Yeah. They'll be like, so there was this time
at Tevian were on the same official visit.
Yes. Yeah. No. Terrence is a year younger. But
we, right.
But they'll be like, both of those guys went
to
Oven.
That was an amazing connection.
Yes. Like, Tevian dunk the ball through the legs.
I was struggling to see where you're going with that.
Yeah. It took me a while to land the plan.
As long as the tournament committee is following, that's all that matters.
Yes, and then Houston also would be slated to play NC State or Iowa, so then Iowa beats Houston, and then we play Iowa in the Sweet 16.
And they've never made it to the Sweet 16, or they've...
Oh, they've wait, never, yeah, okay. No,
can't do that.
Let me write that.
We'll figure it out.
Yeah. Got to work with the NFL to figure out how to script this one. Yeah. We'll see. But yeah, it's nice to be 7-4. It's nice to potentially be second in the Big Ten by the time we play our next game. Guys, anything else that sticks out?
Nothing really else. I've mentioned it on Twitter. I mentioned it on the last podcast. Quarter one was 3-2. Quarter one was 2-3. Quarter two, we went 4-1. We're starting off 1-0. This is the one that we wanted to be at least 3-2, but definitely 4-1, so that we could maybe when we have a harder schedule in Q4, it might be a 2-3 or 3-2 situation. But everything's going to plan as we wanted to, as we've mapped it out. But remember, I'm someone who's taking this one game at a time and just enjoying the Big Ten nights, as they call it.
Yeah. This was a good time to take it one game at a time and enjoy just like a classic 16-point win. But if we do beat Iowa, then we have Minnesota after that. And it's like, okay, now you're really looking at 9-4. And
speaking of Iowa, I look over, Northwestern's taking a free throw without anyone in the key. So it's a technical, and then they go to pan, and his assistant coach is just like patting him on the back, walking him away from the refs. And it's just like, you just know Fran freaked out.
Yeah. I mean, that's not a lot of defense being played between those two teams. But like, yeah, if we beat Iowa, then you play Minnesota at home. Like, that's just an automatic win. Please be 9-4. And then Rutgers at home. Like, that's a team that doesn't travel. You're 10-4.
Don't we have someone on this episode going to the game on Saturday?
Boots on the ground, yeah. We'll be making an impact. We'll have a presence.
Yeah, can you be like our favorite fan at Illinois, who's like the sixth man, sixth woman on the sideline, just getting into it? Mm-hmm. We would love for you to take a charge, maybe, or do what you need
to do. Stick a foot out.
Yeah.
Yes. Chris Do Murray your thing, just Sam. Let Sam trip. Cook.
Yeah. Carver Hawkeye. Look out. Try to find our good friend David Eicholt out there. All right.
Good friend is...
guest of the pod.
Yeah. Is a statement. I won't say if it's a correct statement, but he lives rent-free.
But yeah.
On our podcast.
Yes. But he lives rent-free in our heads, that's for sure. But it'll be a nice few days where we can just enjoy the fact that we've won 7 out of 8, and hopefully our Saturday isn't ruined by losing to Iowa, because like that could be a very frustrating day on Twitter with all of the Iowa fans, with all of the hateable Iowa players.
All the Iowa players.
Yeah. Yeah, they'll be right there. But until then, very excited about winning 7 out of 8. Very excited about being a top 4 team in the Big Ten. Hopefully we continue to make our move up. Purdue, our eyes are on you. That game Sunday, March 5th, to close out the regular season could be for a title. You heard it here first.
Don't lose 2 games, Purdue.
Yeah, don't lose two games. Just, you'd hate for us to be playing at Mackey for a chance to win the Big Ten. I mean, I was like we also, it's between us and Purdue for the most Big Ten wins, like from 2020 till now. I think we're like up 4 or 5 games on them right now, but hopefully we don't have to worry about that because we're just winning another Big Ten title. But on to the next
one. Easy peasy.
ILL.